It's time for Gervie's Law, the intersection of law and life with your host, Alan Gervie. Alan is the managing attorney at the law firm of Rowan, Gervie & Wynn, a workers' compensation law firm which has represented injured workers for over 35 years. And now, here's your host, Alan Gervie.
Good evening. I am Alan Gervie. And this is Gervie's Law. I'm back in studio. I know you missed me. Actually, you probably didn't even know that I wasn't in studio last week. When I was speaking to Gloria Allred, I had pre-taped the show and probably couldn't tell it because everything we were talking about was not really that timely. It was about women's rights, which is something that is so important, and you can't really tell that I wasn't in studio. I was in Canada, and we just heard a Gordon Lightfoot commercial. I guess he's coming to Southern California, a good Canadian singer. With my kids and my mother, we went to Niagara Falls, Niagara on the Lake. My mom lives in Toronto, so it was a short drive. Saw Damn Yankees, a nice American show. Really enjoyed it. It was great at the Shaw Festival. And now I'm back in town, so I'm out. I just got back actually last night from Canada. And for those of you who don't know, Canada has three parties, three political parties, the Conservatives, the Liberals, the New Democratic Party, the NDP, as they're known. And that's relevant because we are going to talk about perhaps a three-party political system in this country, the United States of America, which brings us to our first guest. It is an honor to introduce the 50th governor of New Jersey and, of course, the only woman to have served as New Jersey's governor. I think Gloria Allred would applaud that. She was also the administrator in the Environmental Protection Agency under President George W. Bush. She founded the Committee for Responsible Government. She's a co-founder and co-chair of States United Democracy Center. She's the author of the 2005 book, It's My Party Too, The Battle for the Heart of the GOP and the Future of America. And that's something we can talk about. In 2022, this year, she and former Democratic presidential candidate and classmate, Brown University classmate of mine, Andrew Yang, created the Forward Party, and I hope you've heard of it. If you haven't, it is a centrist third party. There we go, the third party, designed to reduce partisan polarization and implement electoral reforms. And I'm proud to present to you now Christine Todd Whitman. Welcome to Gervie's Law.
Good evening. I'm delighted to be with you.
Well, we're delighted to have you, Christine. And I have to ask you right from the outset, when we talk about a third party, you've accomplished so much in your political career and personal life. What motivates you now to get involved with Andrew Yang and, of course, Dave Jolly, former Republican congressional representative from Florida, to form the Forward Party?
Well, the interesting thing is it's not a party in the traditional sense. What got me here was I've never been as worried about the future of our democracy as I am now. I'm really concerned about what I've seen happening over the years, the way the parties have drawn away from one another. They are now really driven in large extent by their extremes. And so many of the American people are struggling. They're trying to figure out who they want to associate with. They can't find a party that represents them. You have 60% of the American people now saying we'd welcome an opportunity to have a third alternative. You have almost 50% of registered voters registered independent, which is telling you they're saying, you know, pox on both your houses. I don't like anything that I'm hearing. And that's dangerous for our democracy. We have to re-engage people. We have to give them a place to go. And what Forward is, it's an opportunity for people to come together, left, right, center, Republican, Democrat, Independent, and talk about what their major issues are and find the kind of solutions that will stand the test of time. What we're focused on is not the presidential. Everybody goes there right away. I understand that. That's how politics is kind of looked at nationally. But what we're concerned about, there are 500,000 elected offices across this country. And you know what? In 2020, only over 70% of those were unchallenged. There was only one person running. That's just wrong. People need a choice.
Yeah, for
and
sure.
And so that's what we want to provide. We will support Republican, Democrat, independent candidates who are centrists, who are saying, look, the 2020 election is over. It's done with. It was free, fair, and accurate. We're moving on. We believe in our democracy. We believe in economic opportunity for people. We want to support and protect our democracy, and we believe in individual freedom. Let's start there, come together, and start building within our communities to take back what we've seen get away from us over the last couple of decades.
Now, I want to get to what the Forward, and I'm going to call it a party. I know you just said it's not really a party, but we're going to talk a little bit about what it is and what the goals are and the objectives. But before I do, I want to refer to a Washington Post article that you co-authored with David Jolly and Andrew Yang called Most Third Parties Have Failed. Here's Why Ours Won't. And you go through, and it's a very well-written article, talk about political extremism, ripping the nation apart. You also say that a party that represents the moderate common sense majority. Interesting that you use the words common sense majority. Is that to suggest that the Republicans, and I know we're talking about part of them, the more, I would say, radical, if I could say that, and same with the Democrats, the progressive, maybe radical part of the party, are not common sense, and there is common sense in this country that people seem to not be focused on, at least in the media?
Well, you just hit it. That was the key point, at least in the media. When you sit people down, and polls will tell you this, and start talking about the issues, you'll find that we find that people are more agreeing than not, that we are coming together on the issues. We're really very close on the issues. We don't disagree the way the press and the media would like us to believe and the way the extremes are pushing it. And so there is that majority in the middle. They're the 60% that say we'd like a third alternative. They're the people who are saying, look, the system has been dysfunctional. It's not dealing with the major issues that we're facing that we want to see addressed. One of the things that we're going to do with this party is we're going to start in September in Houston to hold a series of listening sessions to go into communities and say, what are your major issues? Not what Washington is telling you, not what the press is telling you, but what's affecting you in your daily life here in your community? And how would you like to see those things addressed? And then next summer, we'll hold a convention and we'll develop a platform, but it's going to be really broad. We're not going to try to say you have to believe thus and such on abortion or guns or climate change or any of those issues. What we're going to say is let's come together and agree on these major issues that affect us all. And we can talk about those other issues and we'll find common ground. We'll be able to find our way to some kind of solutions. It's not going to satisfy everybody because you can't do that. That's just an impossibility. But we'll find our way forward. And once we start to get people talking to one another, it's amazing what you can accomplish. And that's what our focus is.
I think the listening tour is a brilliant idea. A lot of people want to be heard, and the listening tour can provide that forum. But it begs the question as to whether you're going to run into, and I know I'm not asking you to predict the future, but the fringe people, the parties today seem to be catering to these fringe people. Mm-hmm. Why do you think that on your listening tour, you're not going to be exposed to the divisiveness that we see the Republicans and Democrats catering to, which I'm calling fringe?
Well, first of all, I'm not sure they'd be very interested in participating in something where you're really going to be talking about the issues. But, you know, if they do, that's what's going on in our communities. But I believe that they'd be not shouted down because we don't want to get in that situation, but they'd be drowned out by the other voices that say, no, we want to talk about these issues. We want to be heard. You have your opinion. That's fine. We'll listen to it. But here's where the rest of us are. So, yeah, the fringes are there. They will want to be heard, and they should be heard. I mean, they've got issues and they've got concerns, and they'll be heard. But what we want is the people who are saying, okay, I recognize that. I recognize your concerns, but let's see what we can do about them. Let's see how do we solve these problems. It doesn't do us any good to dig in to these extremes on either side and say, you're my enemy because we don't agree. That's not who we are or where we are. And the history of our country is based on, you can't say the word compromise. I use consensus. It's based on having found consensus on people who disagreed. I mean, you know, Alexander Hamilton and Thomas Jefferson and John Adams disagreed on a whole lot of things, but they understood they were about something bigger than themselves. And so they came together to make the kind of changes that gave us the privilege of living in the country we have today. And what we're saying is if we just start to listen and bring in people and help them understand they can be empowered. They're the ones who can control this. It's worth their time spending a little bit of effort to get to know their local representatives, to vote in these elections. They can be heard and they can make a difference. And that's really what our focus is.
You know, it's great to hear the optimism. We don't often hear that in today's world, especially in the media. When you talk about the Ford Party endorsing candidates from both major parties in the upcoming elections before the platform is crystallized, what criteria will the party use, will Forward Party use to endorse such candidates?
Basically, what we're saying is if you recognize that the 2020 election is over and done with, that you agree that you are going to work across the aisles to solve problems, that you agree that we need to protect our democracy and respect the rule of law, we will support you. And we are supporting Evan McMullen. You look in Utah, there's a candidate running as an independent. He was a Republican. But what we've been working with him, and the Democrats have stepped back and said, we'll support him. Because Utah is never going to elect a Democrat, but they might elect an independent who is saying, I'm right here in the middle. I'm listening to all of you. I will caucus with which, depending on the issue, with whichever party is representing what I think needs to be done. And we think we have a chance of bringing him across the line against the incumbent Senate Republican Senator Lee, who is very, very conservative and very much of a Trump person. So what we're doing is saying you can be a Democrat, you can be a Republican, you can be an independent. We're not going to agree on everything. Lord knows Andrew Yang and I don't agree on everything. But we understand that there's so many issues on which we can come together and that this is about saving our country I know it sounds dramatic, but I really am concerned about the future of this country. And I think we're going down the wrong path right now.
You know, you're not the only one concerned. A couple of weeks ago, we had Congressman Jamie Raskin on the show, and he voiced that kind of perspective. But you're doing something a little bit different than other politicians are doing. And we are going to talk more about the practical perspective of the Forward Party moving forward. But we have to take a break. We're talking to Christine Todd Whitman, former Governor of New Jersey, and you're listening to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Tonight I'm gonna take that ride across the river to the Jersey side. Take my baby to the carnival.
Some very appropriate music for our guest, Christine Todd Whitman, former governor of New Jersey, and now one of the creators of the Forward Party. We're talking to Christine about the Forward Party and the listening tour. We'll find out a little more later about the listening tour and how you might be able to get involved. But I want to ask you, Christine, because there's a elephant in the room here, and I think that the philosophy behind the party is one that so many people agree with. You mentioned 60% of the people and the number of independents now and people who are fleeing from the extremism from one party or the other. But at some point, Forward Party has to deal with some of the issues of the day. I know you have been outspoken on the Roe v. Wade decision, overturning of Roe. As a former Republican, that may be of interest to a lot of Republicans. And when you talk about abortion or you talk about guns or some of the other issues that you've mentioned, how do you think that the party can avoid, or maybe it's not going to avoid, dealing with those issues head on and taking positions?
Well, as I said, what we're going to do is develop a platform after we've been doing the listening tour around the country based on what we're hearing from the American people. And we understand that there are going to be disagreements on some of these issues, but we're not going to have a party that says you have to be pro-choice or you have to be pro-life or I'm sorry, you're not part of us. And I have found in the past that when you get people together, even on those most contentious issues, and you sit down and you talk with them, you can find areas of agreement. I mean, on abortion, people will say, okay, I am pro-life, but, you know, life, health, life of the mother, health of the mother, rape, incest, I think there should be exceptions for that. And that's where you start to build a level of trust when you start talking about those issues. You're seeing a lot of backlash now to what the Supreme Court did because of the states with the trigger laws that are going so far as to say, you should report somebody for even talking to a young woman about an abortion. Make it a criminal offense. That's not where the majority of the American people are. 60% of them say, no, Roe v. Wade should stay as the law of the land. So what we're trying to do is say, we understand there are people who feel about these issues passionately. Let's talk about why they feel that way. Let's talk about where we can find the common ground. But we're going to do it in the communities. We're not going to be the kind of party that's a top-down party. We're going to be building, we want to be on the ballot in 15 states by the end of this year, 30 states by next year. We'd like to be in all 52, if you count the territories, by 2024, 2025. It's not going to happen overnight. We're in this for the long haul. This is not going to be something that's going to occur quickly. But we had, within the first week, we had some 40,000 people who had signed up. We have people from every state in the nation, and we have people in 15 or 16 states, and it's probably more now. Those are old numbers from when we first announced, who are actively organizing within their states to get us on the ballot. The issues that we're taking on right now are open primaries and ranked choice voting. Those are two things that we believe would really open the process so that candidates have to talk to everybody, and that people have real choices. So we're going to be working on those issues in the various states as we organize.
You know, it's so interesting when you talk about people who may have different ideas that don't all fit with one party or the other. And I talk to a lot of people, and that's what I hear. People aren't in line with all of the issues, for instance, that the Republican Party may pursue or the Democratic Party. So I think there's something there where people are looking for an alternative where they don't have to necessarily be one way or the other. And that's what it sounds like you are trying to bring together. When you talk about open primaries, how will that impact the voting? Because a lot of people, and I have to put it out there, it's not something you haven't heard, criticize a third party for potentially vote splitting or taking votes away from, often you hear, the Democrats, but either party. So,
we hear that a lot. And one of the things we're saying about that spoiler is, look, with 70% of the 500,000 elected offices across the country having no opposition, nobody running against the main candidate, the party candidate, we'll play in those. And you can't be a spoiler there where the system's already broken. You're just giving people a choice. If there's a centrist, a Republican or a Democrat or an independent running in a race, we're not going to play. we're going to say, fine, we'll support you. We're not the kind of party that says we have to have a forward party candidate in every office all the time. What we're saying is what we want to make sure is that people at every level have the choice of someone who is standing up for our democracy, standing up for the rule of law, and is someone who will work across the aisle. So that it's not one of those things where we say we're going to be there no matter what, and then we could be a spoiler and take votes away from either party. If you've got a centrist Democrat running against a far-right Republican, then we're going to support that centrist Democrat, and vice versa. And that's what we are, and that's why we're so different from the other parties that people are used to.
Christine, doesn't that take a lot of grassroots work? Something that you need a lot of person power to be able to know what's going on in each of these elections that are coming up. It can't just be something coming from the top. Where do you get all of these people?
Absolutely. And it's the people who sign up, who go to the forward party site, who sign up, who become part of the organization. And as we get better known and on the ballot and more people join, we vet people. So we make sure that those who are actually carrying the banner, let's say, and are the sort of focus point in a community for organizing the forward party. So we know who they are and we know that they're legitimate people who really care about this and are willing to organize. But it's going to be grassroots. That's what we're about. That's why we're different from the other parties. It can't be top down. That's what we've had for too long, and people haven't been heard. People have different issues. Every community is different. You're not going to have the same set of issues in Newark, New Jersey, as you are going to have in Anchorage, Alaska. They're going to be different priorities, different issues. They should be respected, and there should be a place for the people in each of those communities to be able to feel they're being heard and have a voice when they elect their officials.
Are you personally going to be involved in the listening tour? Is Andrew Yang going to be involved? How is it going to work? Because you mentioned that it'll be getting going this fall. September's coming up in a few days. Mm-hmm. Right. So how's it all going to work, and how do people get involved?
Well, I'm planning on going to Houston for the listening tour there. And as we set up the schedule, I'm hoping to get it to as many as I can. I know Andrew and David Jolly are all planning to be there. Michael Wilner, also another chair, is hoping to be at the mall, and we'll have our local operatives organize them. What people need to do is go to our website of the Forward Party and sign up and see what's happening in their state. They'll be told we're breaking it down so that we have the states, places where they can go, and find out when there's going to be a listening tour in their community. And if there isn't, ask for one and see if they can set up their own. People are doing that and talking about the issues, and we're going to be as many as we can be in order to start to bring this together to be able to have our convention in next summer.
And how will people be delegates to the convention, or is that a dirty word for a convention in the Forward Party?
I don't know that that's a dirty word, and frankly, we haven't gotten that far. You're ahead of me here.
Well, I'm thinking this through. It's a great idea.
You're right. It's the right thing to do. You're doing the right thing, but we haven't decided yet. We probably will have people, all our state representatives will be there. It will certainly start with those who are organizing the parties in their states and their communities, because it's not just going to be state by state. We're organizing by regions. The federal government has 10 regions. We're talking about 10 regions. And within each of those regions, we'll have chairs of those regions. And then we'll have within that people who are running the local community operations. And that's where we're going to find our delegates.
Looking into your crystal ball, next year at this time, where do you see the Forward Party, and where do you see your role in the Forward Party?
Well, this time next year, I hope we will have seen that some of our candidates came through the elections this November, and we're continuing to sort of hold the course for the country as we go forward. And I'll be as active as I possibly can be, and however is useful. Whatever is useful, I'll be there.
And is there social media that people can check out? The website is forwardparty.com. What about social media?
Well, we have a social media presence, but the best thing to do is to go to forwardparty.com, and that can send you, all the links are there.
Well, that's probably the best way to do it. It's kind of an old-fashioned way, and when you think about it, this idea
is... I'm old-fashioned. You have to understand. I'm old-fashioned.
But you know what? Sometimes old-fashioned is the best way to do things, because what you're talking about is actually speaking to the people, and people want to be heard. They don't want to just be tweeting or on Instagram. There still is, I believe, in this country, a will to be heard and to go to the grassroots and make sure that things don't get out of control, as most people would agree they have at this time. And that's what the Forward Party is, sounds like it's all about. Would that be fair?
That's absolutely fair. And that's exactly where we are and why we started this. I mean, all of those of us who are involved with the Forward Party have been involved in party politics in different ways for most of our lives. And what we've, and we come from different aspects of each one of the parties, but we've said, this is, we've got to make a change, that things are dangerous right now for the future of our country and frankly for the future of the world, because the United States is so important in the world. And as the rest of the world looks at us sort of floundering, not knowing how to do things, that's dangerous. That's dangerous for everybody. And, you know, we're a centrist country. We're a purple country. We're not red. We're not blue. We're purple. And we need to recognize that and not be afraid of it, to embrace it.
You know, it sounds like you just came up with the color of the party, purple. And I know purple. Andrew Yang has said not left, not right, but forward. So there you go, purple and forward. Christine Todd Whitman, I want to thank you so much for being with us today on Gervie's Law and wish you all the luck. We will certainly get the word out. Things sound like things are going to be happening come September with the Forward Party, so good luck with it.
No, thank you very much, and thanks for having me on.
It's been our pleasure.
Take care.
Okay, you too. Take care. Be well. We have to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the bad seed returning. The bad seed returns. After this, you're listening to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
A ghost never leaves a haunted house.
Oh, yeah. Wow. What a great voice. Wish I could talk to someone who sounds like that. Well, maybe I can. Wow, that was Grace McKenna. What a great voice she had. Haunted House. I think that had something to do with the Ghostbusters Afterlife film. Been a big hit. And we're happy to bring Grace McKenna Grace on the show. I say Grace McKenna, it's interchangeable. She's an actress and singer. She's been named one of the top 30 stars under 18 years old. She's known for the 2017 movie Gifted, where she played Mary Adler, and she played Phoebe in the 2021 film Ghostbusters Afterlife, as I just mentioned. She was young Tanya in I, Tanya. I love that movie. And Paige Swanson in Young Sheldon. Also on Young and the Restless. So many credits for such a young person who has been in the business for a long time. And speaking of someone who's been in the business a long time, probably his whole life, the president of the Wolper organization, Mark Wolper, has been involved with so many award-winning productions, including L.A. Confidential and the Emmy nominated The Misfits of Avalon. His father, David Wolper, a legend in Hollywood. The company's been involved with Thornbirds, Queen, starring Halle Berry, Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, Roots, and a host of other award-winning productions. That's Mark Wolper and McKenna Grace. Welcome to Gervie's Law.
Fantastic to be here. Yeah.
You're there. You're both there. I know you're in different places. You're not together, but I'll try and keep you separate. I can tell who's who just by the voices because McKenna's a little younger than Mark.
Yeah, no, Mark.
You know, this movie that's coming out September 5th, that's Labor Day, is, you know, really has been so successful. The Bad Seed in 2018, Lifetime movie. And now we have The Bad Seed Returns. And I say it like I've got kind of like chills because it's a little bit creepy. McKenna, talking to you and knowing that, you know, in the film, you kind of appear normal, like a typical teenager, but there's so much going on. And I know you not only are starring in it, but you wrote, you co-wrote, your whole family's involved, executive produced, and then with Mark Wahlberg. How did you get so involved that you were like a triple threat with this movie?
Oh, jeepers. Well, my dad, he's an orthopedic surgeon, actually, but he's a really creative person. And so over the pandemic, him and I, we really randomly just decided, we were like, we should write a second Bad Seed, even though we hadn't talked to Mark or anybody in months. We didn't even tell them we were doing this. They didn't even ask us to. We just decided to write a second Bad Seed, my dad and I, and so we did. And then we sent it to Mark, and Mark was like, wait, where did this come from, guys? And
wait a second, you didn't tell anybody about it? You were just, when he had done some surgeries and you were at home, and it's Ross,
yeah.
Right? We're talking about Ross. And he were just like, hey, let's just write a sequel to The Bad Seed, and then we'll give it to Mark.
It could have gone south really quick. They could have been like, guys, we already have a sequel script, or guys, this is horrible. But then it ended up working out. But yeah, it was so random on our part. And I'm just so thankful that it all worked out and that they liked it. And now we've made it. It's incredible.
Mark, what was it like when McKenna and Ross came to you and said, here, we have this script. Can we make this movie? What were you thinking?
Well, first of all, I was scared to death. Oh, my God. I love McKenna. I love her dad. I love her whole family. She sent me a script. I'm going to read this script. It's going to be terrible. What am I going to say to her?
Oh, no.
I'm going to break her heart. This is going to be a disaster. I put off reading the script for a while because I was so nervous about reading it. And then I read it, and I'm like, oh, wow, this is a really good script. I didn't even tell her. I sent it off to Lifetime, my partner, the network. I sent it off to them. I said, you guys got to read this. McKenna and her dad wrote this. They read it. They agreed. And next thing you know, she's the triple threat that you called her.
Wow. That's unbelievable. Now, did they consider doing a sequel to The Bad Seed, which was a big hit in 2018? Or was that something that you hadn't talked to Lifetime about?
Well, we had, you know, whispered back and forth about it and said, yeah, we think we should do it. But you know, the pandemic was going on and things were just up in the air. So there was no concrete plans. It was all prompted by this script that they sent.
Now, McKenna, in the first movie, Rob Lowe played your father and he was killed off. How did you account for that? And where did you want to go with that once Rob Lowe was out of the way?
Spoiler alert. No, I'm just kidding. I mean, we just pretty much picked up where we left off. We couldn't ignore the time jump, obviously. So this is 2 years later. And, you know, Mr. Rob, he died in the first film. And so we had to come up with where Emma is now. And so she's with her aunt, living with her aunt, just like it kind of turned out. In the last Bad Seed at the ending, it looked like she was going to go live with her aunt, and so she is.
Aunt Angela.
Auntie Angela.
Yeah.
But, yeah, she's living with her aunt now, and she's going to school. You know, she's kind of normal for the most part, you know, besides being a psychopath and, you know, having psychopathic impulses, but she's kind of trying to lay low until some problems present themselves. Because that's kind of the way that Emma is. She's dormant and kind of flying under the radar and only acts out whenever problems present themselves to her. So we get to see Emma kind of in her natural element again.
But isn't it a little bit creepy when you think about it? Because, like you said, she's normal enough, but there's some things going on in her head and that she acts out on that kind of, you know, make you think, what is going on in other people's brains that they may act out and take revenge and do things that maybe you would never expect of them?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's what's scary, is that Emma is a psychopath and a killer, so that's pretty scary, but yeah, it's always a crazy thought. You never know what's going on in somebody else's mind, but yeah, that's the scary thing, is that Emma presents as a very normal, well, whatever normal is, conventionally normal teen, and so that's the scary thing about her, is that you never know.
Mark, is there any concern when you're dealing with a network like Lifetime that some of this gets a little bit like, you know, the thriller part of it, the horror, maybe a little too much? Or do you ever have to pull back on it? Or can you just let the creative juices flow and let it go where it goes?
Well, McKenna's laughing because she knows exactly what I'm going to say in answer to that question. McKenna and her dad's version of the script was so dark and so violent that the network, we actually had to change. We actually had to bring in the woman that wrote the first script, Barbara Marshall. We had to bring her in just because it was like too dark. Like McKenna had written something that was too scary. So yes, we had to bring it back quite a bit from where McKenna and Ross, her father, had originally presented it to me.
And the premiere was actually delayed. It was supposed to premiere, but the Texas shootings took place. Tell us about that, how you were able to delay it up until September 5th next week.
Well, we all recognize that that a film like this that involves kids at a school and, some horrific things happening at a school and in a typical, horror film would not be appropriate to be running right after the Texas incident. So, McKenna and I and the network, we all discussed it and just agreed that, we just need to put it off. It's just not good timing. We'll find a better time for it. We'll let the people mourn that need to mourn, and we'll move the date.
Yeah, better time when school starts the next day, basically. It's like, okay, we've had our summer. Let's watch this movie and go back to school. McKenna, what does it feel like being someone who is still, I'm assuming, still in high school? I know you're brilliant and you've probably could be in college, but in high school, does it give you the creeps when you think about, fellow students and this film premiering and how that's all going to go down?
Well, really quick, let me say, I don't think that our thought process at all was let's get this out so that we can watch it and then go back to school. I mean, we wanted to push because at the time, this film wasn't really needed following a tragedy.
Right.
Stuff like this can be delayed. It's not exactly, there's no real doubt in our minds that we needed to wait following the tragedy that happened in Texas. But I actually am graduated out of high school.
I'm in
my fourth semester of college right now. But
how is that possible?
I really don't know. It just goes hand in hand with
brilliant.
That's what it is.
Oh gosh, I don't know about that one, but thank you.
Haven't you been a little bit busy? Like, how do you get through school? And we only have a minute before our break, but how do you get through school when you're, writing a movie, you're doing singing, your videos comes out and it's a big hit? How do you do it all?
Well, I did make my first B in college whenever I was shooting this film because there was a lot to do. So
tragedy.
Hard to focus on school. I guess so. But, I mean, it's difficult. There's a lot of different things to balance, but I wouldn't have it any other way. I'm really lucky and thankful to be in this line of work because it definitely is my favorite thing in the world. But it does get pretty busy sometimes, and it is hard to juggle, but I find time whenever I'm on set. I go to an online college, so I just do my courses and hop on Zoom in between takes, and nobody knows.
Wow, be thankful for Zoom. We got to take a quick break. We're speaking with McKenna Grace and Mark Wolper, and the movie is The Bad Seed Returns. We'll talk a little bit more about it and how you can see it coming up in the next couple of weeks. You're listening to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC. Yeah, I could just listen to this. I don't need to talk to anyone. Hey, wait a minute. Who sings this? All right, McKenna Grace. You got any new songs coming out, McKenna?
I'm definitely working on it. I have a whole lot of demos and a whole lot of songs prepared. I have like 40 songs ready to be released, but I just got to decide when. But I am lining up my next release, and hopefully I can talk about it soon.
Oh, it sounds good. I'm sure people are waiting to hear. The movie is called The Bad Seed Returns. It's on Lifetime, and it's premiering on September 5th, and that is at 8 o'clock, 7 o'clock Central. Is that right, Mark?
That's correct.
And it's then streaming the next day. How does that work? Mark Wolper, who's the president of Wolper Organization, executive producer of The Bad Seed Returns, tell us a little bit about how the film gets, I'm going to say distributed. It's not distributed, but gets seen after the premiere on September 5th.
Well, you know, the great thing about streaming now and about Lifetime is in the old days, if you saw a movie you really liked and you wanted the rest of your friends or family to see it, you'd have to wait, you know, it could be a year before they might air it again or run it again, or you just had to figure out the dates. Now, literally in 48 hours, I think, approximately, they drop it on their streaming service, Lifetime.com, Lifetime Plus, actually, I think they call it.
Yeah.
And you can catch it. You can catch it there. Watch it anytime.
That's amazing because, you know, people are busy and, you know, McKenna's father, he's got a lot of surgeries he's dealing with. So he wants to see it. He may not have the time September 5th, but after that, anytime. Has your father seen the film, McKenna?
We all produced it and... Yeah, I think that we have. Yeah. My dad's watched it a bunch of times, actually. All of the cuts that they've sent to us, my dad, even the roughest versions that I was scared to watch, he's seen them all. He's been like, he's been the one watching it the most.
Has he been critical? Has he gone to Mark and said, hey, wait a second, this needs to be changed?
Right, Mr. Mark?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. They've been, you know... A lot of times people get like a vanity producer credit and, you know, McKenna and her dad were very involved. I was calling, you know, he was down here in L.A. still, you know, working and doing surgeries and we'd be on location up in Vancouver and I'd be calling him, you know, on his cell phone in the middle of a surgery, like asking him questions about, you know, medical questions for the show or asking him things about, you know, what he meant, you know, in the script or how we should do this. So they were very, very involved with this project, which is great because, you know, McKenna was involved with the first show. So we were able to put a bunch of Easter eggs in the show. So that's another good reason that you can watch the streaming version of this because you can go back and watch it again and catch all the little Easter eggs that McKenna, you know, wrote into the script and we've dropped into the movie.
Interesting. Now, does someone have to see, in your view, The Bad Seed first before they see it? Or can you just watch The Bad Seed Returns?
Oh, go ahead, McKenna.
I definitely think that you can watch it without seeing the first one, but it is a fun viewing experience watching them in a row. I think it could be a fun little Bad Seed movie night, and you could start with the original.
Did Rob Lowe get involved in the sequel, or once he was gone, he was gone?
No, he was not involved with the sequel. He was actually working on another show, so he couldn't come back, but he was dead anyways. but he also directed the first one, which was great. So, we all had a great time.
And Louise Archambault directed the second one, the one that's coming out. Was there a big difference, McKenna, having Rob Lowe direct you versus Louise?
Well, yeah, for sure. But there's also a big difference in most directors that I work with. I think that both of them were incredible, though.
That's the right answer. I wasn't expecting you to pick one or the other. When this premieres, are you having any parties or how are you doing this? Because in the olden days, you know, everyone used to get together and have a good time and watch the film. What's going to happen with the Bad Seed Returns?
Oh, if only. No, that'd be pretty cool. But I'm actually working. And what were you going to say, Mr. Mark?
I was going to say, no, exactly that. We're all in different places doing different things. So it's just too hard to have any kind of big fancy premiere or anything.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll all get a little toast over text. Congrats, guys. We did it.
There you go. And where is everyone that you can't be together? Mark, what are you working on?
Well, I'm actually in Los Angeles. We're in the final stages of a Stephen King project, Salem's Lot. So another horror film, which is not usually what I do, but finishing up that film.
Apparently you're doing a lot of horror films these days.
Yeah, I guess so. Just a coincidence. I don't know how it happened.
Did your father have that vision? Was he very into the thriller, even though a lot of the classics that he worked on, like Willy Wonka, wasn't exactly a thriller?
Yeah, no, he wasn't really into thrillers. A company really has never, you know, focused on doing thrillers. It just, we did The Bad Seed, which was, we loved it because it was a great, you know, classic film from 1956 and a stage play and a book.
Right.
And it was just interesting to, you know, keep that legacy and that history going. I mean, we all use the term, you know, oh, he's a bad seed or she's a bad seed. And that term comes from this novel, from this, you know, line of films made under this title.
Wow. McKenna, what about you? Where are you and what are you working on?
I actually cannot say.
You can't say? How is that? No, it's just me and you. Just tell me. Come on.
I can't say just yet, but I'm working on a really cool independent film that I'm super happy to be a part of. So I did just finish shooting something called A Friend of the Family that'll be out on Peacock in October. It's based off of a crazy true crime case that there's a Netflix documentary called Abducted in Plain Sight about. So you should definitely go and watch it. It's really good.
Wow. You know, and I really appreciate you getting that legal angle in there because this is a legal show. And, you know, I needed to hear that. So it justifies your existence today. Because you have a new film coming out. What about other projects? We only have a minute. Anything you're looking forward to doing in the coming months?
I have the new season of Handmaids is coming out, and I'm working right now. I've got quite a few things lined up that I'm working on and some really cool projects coming out. So I'm just super happy to be working. But, yeah. And October, it's going to be October so soon. I can't wait for Halloween.
I know. It's going to be exciting. I might dress up as Emma Grossman this Halloween. I'm not sure. I'm thinking about it.
I think that you'd pull it off great.
Well, either me or my daughter. So she's 8 years old, so she'd probably pull it off better, but it's a little scary for her. Everyone needs to watch The Bad Seed Returns on Lifetime. It's premiering September 5th and then streaming after that. You can go to, what is it, lifetime.com to get more information, Mark?
Yeah, I believe that's, or just look up Lifetime.
Lifetime will do it. McKenna Grace and Mark Wolper, it's really been a pleasure. Congratulations on the film, and thanks for joining us today on Gervie's Law.
Thank you so much for having us.
Anytime. Take care and be well. That's going to do it for another episode of Gervie's Law. Thanks for listening.